New Barna research sheds light on five trends defining Americans' relationship to churches, including church hopping, differing opinions on the value of church, expectations about the outcomes of going to church, the importance of church on younger generations, and the perception of the church's relevance to the community. To help us assess Barna's recent research on the state of the American church is the president of American Pastors Network. His name is Sam Rohr, and this is Vocal Point, and I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Rohr is spelled, by the way, R-O-H-R-E-R. Sam, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Jerry, it's my privilege to be with you.
Okay, now, by the way, your name is listed as Honorable Sam Rohr, so you participated in some sort of Pennsylvania politics?
I did. I was actually in the General Assembly of Pennsylvania for about 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Then God called me to preach, and then after that began the beginning of the American Pastors Network.
Which is what?
I spent a lot of years as a minister of God in government and then a minister of God in the pulpit as well.
Oh, that's neat. And what exactly is the American Pastors Network?
Well, the American Pastors Network is a organization, a community, let's put it that way, a community for pastors who believe in the authority of Scripture, salvation by faith in Christ alone, and have the courage to preach the whole counsel of God. And we say if a person believes those things, then they are in a spot where God can use them, and we believe that it is the pulpit through faithful preaching, and those who fit into that category are God's people, God will take and bless the proclamation of His Word. And so we, through the American Pastors, we're trying to be that entity that helps those pastors who oftentimes feel like they're the lonely Elijah in the cave and the last one left, that we say, no, you're not the last one left. But we also try to provide that community and then assistance to them in helping them to understand cultural issues and how to present it biblically, biblical principles applied to the issues of the day, which our people so desperately need.
Well, you know, you sound like a man after my own heart. I mean, I'm the longest-lasting employee of D. James Kennedy Ministries, and that's something that he really was very concerned about, you know, and that phrase, the whole counsel of God, which comes from the book of Acts, I think is a very relevant one. Now, let's back up and look at this research related to the church that George Barna and his group has come up with recently. And but before we get into the meat of that, sometimes you get these, you hear reports, oh, the American church is dying and so forth. But you know, when I talk with other experts like Byron Johnson of Baylor University, he says that's inaccurate, but it does reflect some trend differences that are happening, some types of trends. So what's your general picture of the church in America today?
Well, I'm going to be direct to the point. I do believe that the church in America today looks more like the church of Laodicea of Revelation chapter 3. Mm. than it did the church in America at the beginning of our country and for many years into it. I think we do know by Barna Research and others that when you have such numbers as less than 30% of the pastors in the pulpits of America today actually believe that God's Word is authoritative, meaning it's not that they don't have the Bible in their hand, but they don't believe that all of it is God's Word. So when that happens, you have individuals who can stand and talk about God's Word, but they're not talking with power. And when that happens, then it puts the individual in the position of determining what exactly is appropriate to be preached and what is perhaps not appropriate to be preached. They put them, make themselves as God, and that comes to the reason of why in 9%, only 9% of the churches in America, I mean, I'm talking about even those who would say they're evangelical, for instance, last year preached one sermon on marriage and God's biblical standard for marriage of one man and one woman. They didn't touch at all human sexuality and all that's happening in LGBT effort. Mm-hmm. They're not addressing those issues. That we know from the facts. So the church is not strong. The church, by no means, is dead in America. I do believe that God is quickening a remnant of pastors, and I believe a remnant of God's people. But that's what God's plan always has been. I think that's the way He's always worked. And I believe we are seeing life and energy in the remnant. But the remnant is a minority, probably in the close to 10% range. I think that's biblical, but I think that's also what all the numbers indicate as well. But that's the way God has worked. So that doesn't discourage me, but it does say we've got a challenge before us in America. And the one thing I do know for sure, that it's through the foolishness of the preaching of God's word that lives are changed and families can be healed and nations can be healed. And that is the answer for all of our issues today. It's the faithful preaching of God's word.
Amen. Okay, now let me just ask you this. When you say 10% are faithful and so forth, are you saying 10% of the church, or are you saying 10% of the general population are faithful Christians? What are you saying?
No, it's about 10% of those who say they are believers. Now, George, say they're born again. 2 years ago, George Barney himself did a survey, and it was extensive. I think it was at that point, 74% of Americans generally say they are Christians, and that's because they mean they're not Islamist or they're not something else. They're born in America. They think so. They're Christians. But when you start to walk down through and the questions were asked, how many of you can recount an experience, a personal experience with Jesus Christ? That number then drops to about 50% or so of that number. But then when the questions are asked, do you believe that the Word of God is authoritative and all correct? Do you believe that Jesus Christ himself lived a totally sinless earthly life? Less than 50% of that number who would indicate they were born again actually believe that Christ lived a totally sinless life. And so when you work through all of those numbers, you end up coming down to a number of about 10% of the general public who will say they are believers, who would truly manifest they have a knowledge of salvation,
sure,
through faith in Christ alone, and have a relationship with Him. That 10% number applies to the pulpit from the standpoint about 30% of even evangelicals would say they believe in the authority of Scripture. But about two-thirds of them fall off.
Wow.
When you get into the idea of do you have the courage to preach the whole counsel of God. That fear factor knocks that number down. So that number is about 10% as well. But that, again, is what the book of Isaiah refers to as a remnant, about 10%. I think that's really bearing itself out.
Yeah. Okay, we're about halfway into this program, so let's go ahead and get into more of the Barna research. 2 in 5 churchgoers say that they attend multiple churches. Now, the problem with that is then they can never be disciplined, you know, if they're, you know, doing something wrong or whatever, and they need to be confronted. But comment on the church hopping issue.
Well, I think the church hopping issue ties into some of the other things in the report, but the lack of faithfulness, the lack of regular attendance, prevents, as you're saying, it's not just the lack of ultimate the potential for discipline, but it prevents the most important aspect of accountability.
Yeah.
Accountability to one's brothers and sisters in Christ, accountability to the leadership that have been put in place in that church, the ability to be confronted regularly by the preaching of the Word of God. It's that part of it that is missed, and that church hopping evidence that comes up kind of manifests that aspect. People don't really want to be accountable today. I don't think anybody ever really has wanted to be accountable, but I think we're seeing in these numbers.
Okay. How about the value of the church? How much does the average Christian value church?
Well, those numbers in the report were actually pretty high. I mean, it's like 60-some percent would view themselves as viewing the importance of the church. Did they feel good when they got home from it? And did it meet their research didn't actually sell felt needs, but that's really what we're talking about. And I say that is a problem as well, because our intent for going to church, our purpose for going to church, according to the research, has also moved away. I mean, in reality, the church is a place for believers, true believers, to go, to be taught, to be fed, to fellowship with others.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're told not to forsake the fellowshipping of ourselves together. There's accountability. We are to confess our sins one to another and to God as an example so that we can stand more firmly in the faith. We are there for that purpose. If we go to church, though, to feel good, to have, in biblical tense, our ears tickled, to feel fine and happy, as many in the pulpit, some of these larger, bigger churches actually say, my job is to not to tell people when they come to church to present them bad news. They've heard enough of it during the week. They need to go home feeling positive. Well, that's not the purpose for going to church. That's not God's purpose for church. And so I think we have as the survey would indicate, there is a misdirected purpose for the church itself and for expectations for what we are to expect and why we go to first place. If we go there for worship and to be discipled, then we expect to be confronted with God's word. We expect to be challenged in our thinking and in our heart and to walk away being more holy in our living and our thinking than when we went in. The survey really was indicating that those things that I just said really didn't factor in to the majority of reasons why people are attending church today.
Okay, we have 3 minutes left. Membership. I understand there's a different view, let's say, on church membership among the young versus the old.
I think the reason why you see there is a general cultural move away, the same kind of reasons that our groups, the Lions Club or the Rotary Club, those kind of social groups that used to be, the reason they're falling apart is because the young people are not going to them either. We have a culture that really has looked at faithfulness and entering into a duty and a commitment once you become a part of something carries over not just into the church, but even into our Christian life. We're seeing it all around culturally, and I think this survey is just showing it carried over into the church.
You know, that's interesting, too, because I mean, think about the marriages breaking down or even the young couple shacking up. And by the way, statistics, it is proven that if you want to prepare for marriage, you don't be together before you get married. But if you want to prepare for divorce, go ahead and cohabitate before you get married. And so anyway, there are a lot of people who are even swearing off on marriage. How about the relevancy of the church? Do Christians see the church as relevant? And we only have a minute and a half left.
I would say, based on what the survey is saying, I think what we're seeing generally, as reflected by the fact that many are not members, are not faithful, who may be attending more than one church and are going because they're wanting to feel good effectively, is also ties into the fact that the church itself has become to many a social club where they're comparing it to other things where they may have social needs met. And therefore, if that's the case and it stays that way, the church becomes irrelevant. That's where faithful preaching of the word and those who know who God is in their lives live it faithfully 24 hours a day on the job, in their families, and in the church. That's how it's changed. Salt and light, that's how the church started at the beginning when Christ was resurrected, and then the disciples went out and changed the world. It hasn't changed. That's how the world can be changed again now. That's when it's relevant, when Christians believe and act like true believers.
So in a very real sense, only 30 seconds left, in a very real sense, the pulpit is the key to a lot of this.
Well, the pulpit is the key, and I'm going to say to folks who are listening, dads, if you are listening, you are the key in your home. At the end of the day, nobody can claim the condition of the church only on the pulpit. It's fathers in the home where I'm going to take it immediately, but the pulpit must lead the way. It always has, and those in the pulpit who know the Word of God must stand up and be more bold in their preaching of the Word of God.
As the pulpit goes, so goes the nation, as one person put it. Okay, let me give you a website. It's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Thank you, Sam, for being with us. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry. Great to be with you.
Okay, bye-bye.